2 minutes past seven. Thank you so much to the team at Chemist Warehouse for great savings every day. We are live in Studio Lumo, powered by Lumo Energy SA. And if you missed it earlier, it is International Day of the Pest, Mark Bickley. And we celebrated by... Well, I scared you at 5:15 in the morning when you made your way into Studio Lumo. And
now, this isn't the first time this has happened. You hit under the desk once before and scared me. You tried to scare me another time, but I was onto you.
You're onto me, yeah.
But this time...
There was a genuine fear in your face
this
today.
This time you got me because I was just meandering in, half asleep.
You can have a look at the video.
All
on
of a sudden, I was threatened by a giant pest.
16:29 SENSA was celebrating alongside the team from Murray's, and it was very, very enjoyable. I'm going to FaceTime my kids really soon in the termite costume just to see if I can scare them as well.
Give them some nightmares. Let them stay up all night.
It is 3 minutes past seven. Let's find out what we learned over the weekend.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. SENSA breakfast, top five things we've learned.
Okay, I'm going to start with number one. We'll go with Port Adelaide. Their first half blitz, it proves that they can score really quickly. Now, why is this important? Well, like you saw on the weekend, halfway through that second quarter, if not earlier, the game was over. When you can score quickly, you can put the game beyond reach of teams early in the games. And secondly, if you're ever behind, you have the confidence to know that you can come back from any situation. So their ball movement, their kicking in particular was outstanding. Their finishing in front of goal was very, very good. So, it was just quite remarkable. Ken Hinckley spoke about that after the game.
Oh, I just thought we played all parts of the game incredibly brutal. It's definitely as good a half as I've seen us play for a long, long time. So, and to expect that to continue on was probably me being a bit greedy in some ways. I just couldn't expect that from the boys. They were... You put 100 points on the board at halftime. That's pretty damaging.
Yeah, 16 goals, 9 in the first half was their biggest ever first half total in the history of the club. Second thing I learned across the weekend, I'm calling them the Yo-Yo Crows. Win against St Kilda, lose against the Bulldogs. Win against Brisbane, lose against Gold Coast. They'll beat North this week. They'll win that. Sorry, West Coast. And then they'll potentially lose against Collingwood the week after. I know it's away from home. The biggest thing they need to address is the contested ball. They lost by minus 38 on the weekend. They break even when they play at home. They lost by 35 against the Bulldogs. They lost by 16 against Geelong. So you've got to actually win the footy. I'm not sure how they do it, but that is the number one thing they need to address. And Matthew Nicks pretty much said as much.
That was the most frustrating thing for the night, yeah. And credit to the Gold Coast. They dominated us in that area through periods of the game. I thought, unfortunately tonight we had too many players that just didn't impact consistently enough. Right across the board, we were inconsistent in the way we played tonight. They were consistent in the way they went about it. After that first quarter, they were happy to crash in and play a really sort of one-sided game against us, and we just took far too long to adjust to that. And in the end, that was the difference.
The contest there, the difference. The third thing I learned across the weekend is Port Adelaide's finishing in front of goal is exquisite. So blokes like Todd Marshall, 5-1. Junior Rioli kicked 4 straight on the weekend. A couple of absolute belters. Houston slipped down and kicked 2 goals. Burton kicked 1. In a competition where spots are so tight, and now Port Adelaide will be contending for a top 2 spot. If they do that, they get a... the potential of 2 home finals, sending them potentially to the grand final without leaving Adelaide Oval. Mm. So the ability to finish in front of goal is critical, and I feel like they're getting that together. And as I said, we saw a great example of that on the weekend. The fourth thing I learned across the weekend was that if you've got a great forward line like Adelaide, that doesn't mean much if you cannot get it in there. And what happened in the second half... Adelaide got smashed in the centre bounce clearances, 12-4 in the second half. We ended up being 18-13 across the day. Rao was phenomenal. He won 5 in the second half. Anderson was great. Swallow was also very good. Adelaide needs something different inside the centre square at centre bounce. Riley O'Brien was beaten comprehensively. But Laird went to 26. Keys went to 24. Dawson went to 20. So they were in there just about every centre bounce. And between them, they only won 4 clearances. Luke Pedler went to 7 And he won four clearances from his seven. Mm. I think he needs to be inserted in there and do a little bit more of that type of work. Now his body's under control. He's explosive. He's got some speed. I want to see a bit more of him in there. And the fifth thing I learned, that Port Adelaide, their coaching staff, are right on top of their game. After the weekend, they seem to be pulling all the right levers. So you think about Tom Jonas being left out. That's a tough call. We know that earlier in the year, Darcy Byrne-Jones was left out. They didn't rush back Travis Boak or Charlie Dixon. Lockie Jones has had to really earn his spot back in there. Jed McEntee, who came in early in the year and many thought would be out pretty quickly, he's been playing great pressure footy and he's, you know, maintained his spot. Dylan Williams is another one who came in when there were some injuries and some suspensions and he's held his spot. So I just feel like everything that Port Adelaide coaching staff are doing, when the hard calls are there to be made, they're doing it. They're flipping their team around when they need to. They rested Scott Lysette. They had a luxury of being able to do that. So they're in good form, as are the players at the moment at Port Adelaide.
One of the things about Jed McEntee, and I'm glad you raised his name, because last week was the mid-season draft. He was a player that was taken in the mid-season draft from the Double Blues. And he, since he's been in the team, Port Adelaide's numbers have just increased dramatically when it comes to pressure and tackles inside 50. For him to do that alongside the other forwards, I mean, that's going to be the difference when it comes to finals.
Well, in the end, he's kicking goals as well, so he's being rewarded. But I sort of felt at the start of the year, he was a fair way back, but Port Adelaide's first couple of games, and particularly their loss against Collingwood, they were non-competitive. And you could almost picture the discussion around the selection table at Port Adelaide after the Collingwood game. They said, you know what, like, we've got all these highly skilled players. If they don't want to compete, well, let's just pick this bloke who's not as skilled, but guess what? Boy, he smashes in. And I think that's been the mode that he's taken. He's just tackled, he's pressurised, and through that has created opportunities. And also when the opportunities have come to him, he's finished really well.
Good to recognise Scott Lysette being subbed out. Scott Lysette was playing really well, but they're obviously getting him ready for the next couple
Tim
of
English
weeks
coming
too.
Up. Yeah,
exactly.
Two 6-day breaks.
Had a text coming through from Daniel 0427154166. You did mention the Yo-Yo Crows, Mark Bickley. Daniel says, Bix, in 2023, six teams have had 25-point leads and been overrun. The Adelaide footballers done it three out of the six times. Is it time we start questioning Darren Burgess and the high-performance team?
No.
All right, there's your answer, Daniel. Thank you so much for getting involved in the show. 0427154166.
Look, I think there's been a couple of extenuating circumstances. I think round one, it was in extreme heat, and I think they made a few blues with the centre square again in round one. They got blitzed in the second half. They had all their kids in there. I think on the weekend, they got overrun. In Darwin, I know that's just different conditions because and Gold Coast have been up there all week. They played there last week. They stayed there all week. The ground became really dewy. It just felt like the Gold Coast Suns handled that better than Adelaide. It wasn't a fitness thing. I just think that it was more of a ball handling one. And the other one was the Collingwood match where, you know, like if we're going to crucify people for being overrun by Collingwood, half the competition's in that vein because they seem to have done it to a number of teams. So I think if you talk to the players, the coaching staff, they all think Darren Burgess is a genius and yeah, they're going pretty well at the moment, so I wouldn't be questioning that.
11 minutes past seven, we are in Studio Lumo, powered by Lumo Energy SA. We have done our ladder predictors for the remaining half of the 2023 season, and next, Mark Bickley and myself will let you know our thoughts on who's going to be finishing in the bottom six of the AFL table.